left off in the last year. We just started to introduce the sugya of binyan and stira concerning kalim, the original malacha of bona and sosiar. So we're in the context of karka, davar mechubla karka, things that are connected to the ground. Question is, does it carry over to things which are kalim, which are movable in the first place? So we saw that much of the discussion in the Rishonim revolves around an apparent stir between two gemaras. So we'll take a quick look again. I don't think we had the sheets last time, or I think we had a chance to look at. So we'll take a quick look just at the two major marmakomos. So in the second of the marmakomos, so the Mishnah in Masech Shab, Shav al Masech Chavis Lechalim and Agrogros, that a person is permitted to break a barrel in order to get the figs inside. Unless a person breaks it in such a way that he intends to make it into a functioning kli, that's already a whole different halacha. We'll get to that hopefully as the sugya develops. But the first half of the Mishnah, that one is permitted to break the barrel, the simple reading of the Mishnah is that it's mutter because there's no malach altogether, because there's no malach of selser, and the reason why there's no malach of selser is because it's a kli, and the corollary of that is, if there's no malach of selser, then there's no malach of bona as well. The problem is that the third of the Marmakamos, the Mishnah Erevin says, Nasav migdal b'avar avteach, if a person put an Erev in a big box or something, and he lost the key, so I raise the Erev, and then Rabbi Lezer has another question about that, we're going to skip that. First line of the Gemara is, V'yamai, hu b'mokam echad v'iru b'mokam acharu. How could the Erev be good? The Erev is not accessible, he's in one place, and the Erev is somewhere else, because presumably there's no way to get inside this box without the key. So the Rishonim ask, why is there no way to get inside the box? Just take the box, smash it to smithereens, and you'll get the Erev inside. So there must be, the Gemara is assuming there's some kind of a problem with breaking the box. What possible problem could there be? Presumably it's a problem of sosir. Aye, but it's a box, it's a migdal, it's not a structure. So it must be.
All callers are muted and they can unmute themselves.
It must be that there is a malacha of sosir when it comes to kelim, and then of course the kailim. There would be a malacha bona as well. So those are the two gemaras that the Rishonim point out. The Mishnah about Shavar Adam as a chavis, in contrast to the Sugat Erev in the third parak, is there malacha bona or is there malacha of sosir by kelim or not? So we started the Erev Adidisha last week to see some of the approaches to this contradiction. So the simplest approach was the approach of the Rishami, that there was some Rishami that says, and there was never a contradiction in the first place. The easiest way to solve a contradiction is to deny the existence of the contradiction. There is no Gemara that says that it's also to break the box. What does the Gemara mean when it asks, Hu b'makom echad v'ru b'makom acher? So the Rishami is talking about, the Rishami says we're talking about a type of a box that's not breakable. You can't break it. They're not a stone. You're going to break it from tent to home, it's not going to work. So if the Rishami is talking about a type of box that's not breakable, but a box that would be practically, physically breakable, would be permissible to break, then there's no steer in the first place. So even though the Rishami does say that, most of the Rishami don't go down the route of the Rishami. The Babli doesn't make mention of that distinction. So we're going to try to find another possible distinction. So at the very end of the Shir, on Friday we quoted the opinion of the Ran. So the Ran says that there is a klal called Ein Binyan Bekelim, Ein Steer Bekelim, but that's only true as long as something is called the Kli. Once something is no longer halachically a kli, then the malach is a bona and so it's to come back. Where do you draw the line? What's considered to be halachically a kli or not? So I thought the difference was that a kli is something that's movable. This is a kli. This chair is a kli. Karka means wall of the building that's stationary. It's connected to the ground. That's considered to be karka. So the Ran says, no, if you look at another area of halacha, so it will shed some light on us. For us, where do you draw the line? What's called a kli? What's not called a kli? Because a dinuch is tuma. If you have a kli eight, you have a wooden utensil. So if it's a fairly small wooden utensil, it's bekabel tuma. Any other kli eights. But what if it becomes very, very, very large? It's so big that nobody would ever move it. I mean, it's theoretically movable. It's not normally movable. So comes the halacha and tells us, if it's a kli that's machzik, it contains more than 40 saw. It can hold more than 40, so that's big. That's like the size of a mikvah. It's a really, really tremendous wooden barrel or something. So then technically it's not makabal tumah anymore. Why is that? How has that happened? So the answer is that the only thing that's makabal tumah is a kli eitz. A karka, a wooden house, is not makabal tumah. A wooden utensil is makabal tumah. So you see that the halacha tells us that kli versus karka is not only a function of movable versus not movable lamaisa, but something which is not normally movable, so which is so large that it's so difficult to move it, that's closer to, in halach, to the realm of karka than it is to the realm of kli. So it comes around and says, let's borrow that distinction and plug it into Chashabbos as well. If you have a small wooden box, so small wooden barrel, then there's no problem of malacha binyan and stira. That's what the Mishnah in Shabbos is talking about. Shava adam sechavis. The sugya in Erevin is not talking about a little barrel. It's talking about a tremendous, tremendous thing. How do I know? Because look at the lush that the Mishnah says. Not so b'migdol. It was a tower. Migdol. Migdol doesn't mean a little box. Migdol doesn't mean a little barrel, like we would describe it. Migdol means a huge thing. It's not technically connected to the ground, but it's a very, very large, movable closet. But it's so big that normal person wouldn't move it. So just as an uchas tumah v'tahara, it's not subject to tumah anymore. It's dinu k'karka not k'kli. So to an uchas Shabbos, so serbona would now apply to it. So this is one extreme in the Rishonim. Basically, what the Ran is telling us, that the real rule is ein binyan stir b'kelim. That's the starting point. The only time we'll find the malacha bona and soser is in the unique case where the kli ceases to be halachli a kli. But there's a totally different approach that's taken, which is the sheet that's taken by Tosfos. There's a long Tosfos, 7th of the Marmakom, so I read the whole Tosfos. But there's a long Tosfos that appears in several places where Tosfos goes back to the drawing board and Tosfos says, let's reevaluate what we mean with the statement that ein binyan b'kelim, ein stir b'kelim. So Tosfos says that if you look carefully at the Gemara in the 6th of the Marmakom, Maseches Beitza, the Gemara talks about that very Mishnah, that very controversial Mishnah about Shova Adam Asachavis, and the Gemara happens to be talking about it on other grounds, technical reasons. The Gemara is not even addressing the issue of Bona and Soser, but the Gemara does say something unique about that Mishnah. If you take a look at the 6th of the Marma Kamos, the Gemara says, Hadistan, it's the second line from the bottom, Hadistan Shova Adam Asachavis Lecha Medagrogris, Uvach Leskavanasos Kli. Now, it's a little unfair because I'm kind of drop you in right smack in the middle of Shachvatai in the Gemara, but for our purposes, it's really the next line that matters. Amar Rav Ashi, for technical reasons, Rav Ashi says that Mishnah, Kitan Yehibim Mustiki, that Mishnah of Chavis is not quite talking about a regular barrel. It's not talking about a really strong, sturdy barrel. It's talking about a very unique kind of a barrel called a Mustiki. Now, the word Mustiki, so Rashi on the spot says that it's actually related to the Arabic word of Mastik, which we know today means gum, chewing gum. Mastik is not a Hebrew word, it's an Arabic word. But mustiki means that's made with pieces of wood that are glued together. So comes the Gemara and says that Mishnah about Shov Adam Sechavis, for pure technical reasons, nothing to do with that sugya, for technical reasons, happens to be talking about a kind of a makeshift kind of a barrel, a shvacha barrel, a barrel that was put together a little bit spit, a couple of pieces of old wood and some gum together to keep it in place. That's the chavis of the Mishnah Masechta Shabbos. So comes Tosfos and picks up that Gemara and says, oh, if the Gemara anyway is telling us that Shova Adam Sechavis is not talking about a regular barrel, it's talking about a very, very weak kind of a barrel, so now we can take that and use it to solve our apparent contradiction. We had a kasha, are you allowed to break a barrel in Shabbos? Well, you're not allowed to break a barrel in Shabbos. So comes Tosfos and says, brisketar, depends what kind of barrel it is. If it's a real barrel, a good barrel, a solid barrel, then you're not allowed to break it on Shabbos. You know why? Because that's malacha soiser. I ein stir b'kelim. There's no such rule, says Tosfos. The rule of ein stir b'kelim only means if it's a stirish and a gemura. To break a kli that's almost falling apart anyway. When the Gemara says ein stir b'kelim, it doesn't mean you're allowed to break any kind of a kli. It doesn't mean there's no bone of a soiser in kelim. It's not true. But ein binyan ein stir b'kelim means is a building or demolishing of something which is so weak, which is so non-permanent in nature to begin with, under those circumstances, ain't binyan b'kelim. Under those circumstances, ain't stir b'kelim. But says tells us there is no klal called ain't binyan b'kelim. It's just more than it was made out to be. We started out, there's this principle called ain't stir b'kelim gevalt. So what's the exception to that rule? Says Tosfos, we have the whole thing backwards. The whole sugya is upside down. Says Tosfos, the real rule is yesh binyan b'kelim, yesh stir b'kelim. Either Gemara says ein, so take a look at the context the Gemara was talking about. Hacham Ha'askin is dealing with a mustiki. So we now have a machlokes and rishonim from one extreme to another. What is the starting point? What's the concluding point? is the starting point, like the Ron says, that ain't Binyan Mikelim, ain't Stir Mikelim. That's the rule. We find every once in a while there is. No, that's talking about something that's so big, it's not a kli anymore. That's the Ron's starting point. So according to the Ron, the starting point is Lakula, and one or two exceptions are Lachumra. According to Tosfos, everything is the opposite. According to Tosfos, the starting point is, of course, Yesh Binyan Mikelim. Of course, Yesh Stir Mikelim. Any Gemara that indicates otherwise is talking about a very, very weak kind of Binyan Stira, such as the case of a Musniki. What prompted Tosfos to say such? Where did Tosfos get this idea from, besides just the one or two contradictions in the Gemara? Where did Tosfos get this idea that fundamentally Yesh Binyan Mikelim, the starting point really is the 180 degree opposite of the Ran? So Tosfos themselves tell us where they got it from. They got it from the fifth of the Maamar Kamos. So we take a look at the fifth of the Maamar Kamos on Shabbos Kuf Beis Amud Beis. Ayil Shufsa Bekofina Demara. If a person connects together the two pieces of a shovel. So a shovel is made up of two parts. It's made up of the wooden handle. It's made up of the metal blade. So you have to stick the two together. You have to put a peg in to connect the two. So if a person puts that peg in and connects it, and now has an effect, quote unquote, built a shovel. So Rav Amar Mishum Baina. So Rav says that is a violation of the Malach of Baina. Ushmul Amar Mishum Machmud Patish. And Shmuel says it's a violation of the Malach of Machmud Patish. Machmud Patish means putting the finishing touches on something. So we're not yet learning the Sugar Machmud Patish, so we're not quite sure why the Shudder should not be Machmud Patish. But we want to focus more on Rav, especially Hilchos Rabbi Suri. So we want to follow Rav's sheet. The Rav just told us that taking a wooden handle, taking a metal blade, and taking a peg, and combining the three together, is Chayev Mishum Boina. So comes Tosus at the seventh in the Maamar Kamos. So the ode, take a look at the seventh in the Maamar Kamos, it's on this side of the page still, three lines from the bottom, the last word of the line. The ode, the Bekli, not Mishayach Binyan Ristira. So comes Tosus and says, just to say that there's no bone of a Soser and Kalim is not accurate. How do I know this? Kid the Omer Babona, as it says, I guess the right name of the perk. It says in Perk Habona, Haiman the Oil Shufsa Bekofina de Barachai Mishimona. He quotes Rav. That's what we pass in the Halacha Pash, just like Rav, that the person who puts together the parts of the shovel is Chai Mishimona. So says Tosfos, if you're going to tell me that Ein Binyan B'Kalim, that the starting point is there's no Malach of Bona on Kalim, short of the 40 saw, the big, big giant Kli of the Ran, if you're going to tell me Ein Binyan B'Kalim, so what's Rav talking about? Rav says, Befavish, that there's an Isidarais of Bona. So it must be, says Tosfos, that all the Gemaras that say Ein Binyan B'Kalim are loved Africa. They're all talking about Mustaki types of Kalim, but the real McCoy, a real bona fide Kli, so then there would be an Isra of Bona, even on a Shvacha kind of a Kli. So I'll go put him.
What would the Ron say
about that? We'll see in a second. We'll see exactly in a second what the Ron's going to say about that. So come other Rishonim, the Ramban and the Ron, by extension, and say, wait a second. He said, on the one hand, I'm trying to convince you that the starting point is Ein Binyan B'Kalim. The Malach of Bona never applies to Kalim. And the one case where it does is because it's not a Kli anymore. So what do you do with Rav's statement? What do you do about the building of the shovel? So if you take a look at the 10th of the Maamar Kamos, down to the Ramban. So the Ramban, who starts the Teretz going, which eventually will be picked up by the Ran, says the Ramban in Shabbos Kuf Beis Amud Beis, Rav Machabi Shimona, Kashu L'Rav Osa Zal. He says, my Rebbe, my bottom, but the following question: I am reading Maseches Beitza, Ein Binyan B'Kalim, Ein Stir B'Kalim. So, if we take the Gemara Kepshuto, that Ein Binyan B'Kalim, Ein Stir B'Kalim, what do we do with this Gemara about building the shovel? V'yesh Lam L'Tare, says the Ramban, D'chi Amrinan, Ein Binyan B'Kalim. When do we say there's no Binyan B'Kalim? Hani Mili B'Klisha Nisparek. You go menorish al chulios. He says that means kalim that are there's no real binyan on them anyway. So Tosfos gave the example of mustaki. The Ramban gives another example of something that was made up of a lot of little pieces that fell apart. You want to kind of put your Lego back together again. Those are examples where we say ein binyan mekalim. Aval hocha says the Ramban osek kli o mesaken kli mitchiloso ein lecha binyan gadol mizeh. Says the Ramban, this is not called Binyan B'Kalim, this is called Osekli. Ve'ein zeh nikra bin mekel, shrei eino kli, aval osa kli mikra, says the Ramban. When do we say binyan became ain binyan became ain stir became? That's when something is already a kli, but the making of a kli, you made it from scratch. You took the raw material, you took a piece of wood, and you took a blade, and you took a peg, and you combined these parts together to make a kli. That's not called ain binyan became. That's called an osikli mechadash, osikli meikara. Osikli meikara is for sure going to be chayav for the Melacha Bonin and Shabbos. So that's the answer that the Rav would say as well. So again, so we have, starting out with our stira between the two Gemaras. One, the Mishnah Gemara in Masechta Shabbos seems to say that you're allowed to break the barrels. The Gemara in Erevin is assuming that you're not allowed to break the barrels. How do you resolve that? So one answer was Yerushalmi to say that there is no Gemara that says you're not allowed to. The Gemara is talking about it's just not practical. It's wood, it's stone, it's not going to break. But putting aside the Yerushalmi, we have two approaches that don't ever shown him how to solve this problem. Either we go down the route of the Ran, who says that the starting point is that there's no malach of Bainu v'saisu and Kalim, and any Gemara that says otherwise is talking about a large kli. It's not a kli anymore, it's ready karka. And Tosfos quotes the exact opposite answer, that the starting point is a yesh binyan v'kalim, yesh tir v'kalim, and the any Gemara that's an exception is talking about those kinds of kalim that are falling apart anyway. There's nothing to them anyway, like the mustikis and such, and therefore they're not subject to the malacha of bonin. So a lot of the discussion revolved around that Gemara back in Masechta Shabbos. The Gemara back in the...
So what's the Ramban's machshava as far as, you know, once it's a kli, can't be built again? What's the halachic basis for it, that once it had a shem kli, that it falls apart?
No, well, so the Ramban himself agrees that depends to what extent it falls apart. The Ramban threw in a line... I skipped that line. Can we go back to the Ramban for a second? Because it'll answer your question. Let's go back to the 10th of the Ramban Kamos for a second, back to the Ramban. So it's the end of the third line. He just made the distinction between Ein Binyan Mikalim versus Osa Kli Meikara. Whatever, you have a Kli that fell apart, but I can't put it together. You're going to have to call in a professional to do it. Mechayev alei mishum bonet. Tahav alei ke'osa kli mitchiloso. Any kli that requires a professional fixing, that's like make it from scratch. Maybe shosh is parak, v'ena hedya yachlach zero, batal mitaras kli. It loses the status of a kli. If it's something that even, I have no idea how to fix things, but even I can figure out how to put that together again, so that it's still called the kli. I didn't really do anything. I didn't do bona on it. But if it's broken into pieces, then I have to call in the professional. Even the Ramban would agree, that's called nasiyas kli mechadash.
Isn't the Ramban creating an asymmetry between bona and stira? Because if you make a new kli,
right,
it's high, but if you break that
first
kli, that's
right, that's right, that's right, that's right, that's right, that's right, right. That's right. I mean, we weren't sure the two malachas are absolutely identical. We thought they were, but we're not 100% sure yet. So a lot of this discussion is revolving around this very, very cryptic Gemara in Shabbos Kuf Beis and Beis, where the Gemara says the guy who sticks the pieces of the shovel together is Chayav Mishum Bona. So that was the Gemara that led Tosfos to believe that fundamentally Yesh Binyan Mikalim, and that was the Gemara that forced the Ramban and the Ran to be Deicha. They know that Gemara is talking about Osa Kli Mechadash. Is there any other way out of that Gemara? Is there any other way to read that Gemara? So one could suggest that maybe the reason why the Gemara says Chayav Mishum Bona is really truly Chayav Mishum Bona, not like the Ramban said, not Tosfos' conclusion, really true Chayav Mishum Bona, because that issue of Yesh Binyan Mikalim, Ein Binyan Mikalim, happens to be a Machlekes HaTanaim. Even whatever in the world that phrase means, whether it means Tosfos' version, means the Ran's version, or whatever that phrase means, Yesh or Ein Binyan Mikalim, is a Machlekes in the Gemara itself. It's a Machlekes HaTanaim. So it's possible that when Rav said Chayav Mishum Bona, Rav was saying, according to those opinions who maintain Yesh Binyan Mikalim, Chayav Mishum Bona. What does that mean for us? Nothing. So it could be that line, the Gemara, Chayav Mishum Bona, is not necessarily halacha. We already know there's a machlokes. For us to make up a machlokes from scratch, that we're not going to do. But we already know such a machlokes exists, so to make such a tumult about Rav's statement, Chayav Mishum Bona, so maybe we made a little bit too much. That's one possibility. But there may be another way to refute that Gemara about building of the shovel. It could be that the building of the shovel may not be relevant to our discussion for the following. So if we go back again to the 5th of the Maamar Kamos, let's read the Gemara very, very carefully. Ail shufsa b'kafina demara. A person who puts the the peg into the handle, connects the handle and the blade of the shovel. So Rav Amar Mishum Bona. Rav says because of Bona. Ushmul Amar Mishum Ach Bepatish. And Shmuel says because of Ach Bepatish. Now we thought that the Machlekes Rav and Shmuel is trying to explain which malacha are we going to make Yechayah for. Everybody agrees there's a malacha deraisi. That's not the question. The question is Chayah Mishuma. Ayuchayah Mishum Bona. Is that the name of the malacha? For some reason, Shmuel said the name of the malacha is Ach Bepatish. Well, the Rishon proceeded with that premise. The Sefer Yerayim, Rabbi Elazar Mitz, who's a Talmud of Rabbeinu Tam, has a very innovative way of reading this Gemara. Comes to Sefer Yerayim and says, if you notice, the Gemara doesn't say Rava Machayev Mishum Bona. My name said Chayev. We almost thought the word Chayev was there. It doesn't say Chayev. It says Rav Amar Mishum Bona. What does it mean, Mishum Bona? Comes to Rabbi Elazar Mitz and says, the Machlaikis Rav and Shmuel is not which Balachi Chayev Mishum, but rather, is this a Balach altogether? So Shmuel said, oh yeah, this is Mach Mepatish. And it's Mach Mepatish, so then we're going to make Yechayah Bishu Mach Mepatish. To which Rav was responding, this action of putting together the pieces of this shovel is not really Mach Mepatish. Mach Mepatish means it's all there already. The table's all there. Everything is there. 99% is done. There's one little thing at the end. I got to tighten a screw or something. That's called Melechas Mach Mepatish. The Gemar Melacha is Mach Mepatish. Rav is saying, this is not Gemar Melacha. This is better or worse. This is Asiyas Kola Melacha. Gemar Melacha means putting the final touches on a kli. But I'm not putting the final touches on the kli. I'm building the kli. So Rav, when he says Mishum Bona, needs to say it's not Mach Mepatish. It means don't say that this is Mach Mepatish and you're going to be Chayav Mach Mepatish. No, 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 says Rav. The action that you're doing is closer to the Bona model than it is to the Mach Mepatish model. And therefore what? So now Rav says, well, from the fact that it's closer to the Bona model, and we all know that Ein Binyan B'Kelim, so then guess what? This guy's going to get off scot-free. This guy who I don't even know what to call him, he built the shovel, he can't be chayav for anything. He can't be chayav for Mach Mepatish, because this is not Mach Mepatish. Mach Mepatish has a certain connotation to it that this action is not referring to. So Mach Mepatish is off the charts. It's Bona, says Rav. You're right. It's Bona. It's 100% Bona. And it's Bona that's Potter, because Ein Binyan B'Kelim. So that's quite a creative way of reading the Gemara. I mean, I don't think anybody else would have read the Gemara, and all the other Rishonim did not read the Gemara that way. But when Rav says Bishum Bona, that means that's a reason to be Potter, not a reason to be Chayev. But you see to what extent the Rebbe Elazar Mitz was bothered with this kasha, because this Gemara with Chayev Bishum Bona sticks out like a sore thumb. It contradicts the whole principle of Ein Binyan B'Kelim. So at the end of the day, we have a few different approaches to what our take should be. Should we say the Yesh Binyan B'Kelim? Should we say the Ein Binyan B'Kelim? Should we say it depends on different factors? So we have one whole group of Rishonim who are assuming that there's an absolute klal, chof lo yavor, that ain't binyan b'kelim. Any Gemara that sounds otherwise, either, like the Rishonim said, it's not even talking about halacha, it's talking about a stone kli that can't be broken, or any Gemara that says otherwise, so doesn't really say otherwise, like the Sefer Yerayim. That's it. The klal gadol is ain't binyan b'kelim, ain't sefer b'kelim, no ands, ifs, and buts. Then you have other Rishonim who say that, yes, it's true, that fundamentally Ein Binyan B'Kelim, fundamentally Ein Sefer B'Kelim, but every once in a while you cross a line where it becomes Yesh Binyan B'Kelim, i.e. it gets too big. That was the Ram. So the Ram was willing to meet us a little bit and say, well, sometimes there's Binyan B'Kelim. For example, if the Kli is too big. Or maybe sometimes there's Binyan B'Kelim, if you Ose Kli Mechadosh, if you make a Kli from scratch, oh, that the Ramban and the Ram said, that's already considered to be a Malacha Deraisa B'Kelim. Again, so you have the one extreme, Yerushalmi, there's no such thing. Don't even talk to me about Bona Mitzvah, sir. Then you have the Ran who says, 90% of the time don't talk to me, but 10% of the time we can have a conversation. And then you have the other extreme, Shittas HaToysos, where the starting point is totally opposite. The starting point is absolutely Yesh Binyan B'Kelim, absolutely Yesh Tir B'Kelim. The Gemara about the shovel is not the exception to the rule. The Gemara about the shovel is the rule. And any Gemara that says otherwise, those Gemara talk about Shvach, I think, they talk about Mustagis, they're talking about, you know, Kelim that are breaking apart into little pieces anyway. So how do we pass in Aloch and all these different opinions? So if we take a look at the Shulchan Aruch in the 11th of the Marv Kamos. When 11th of the Mamma comes to Shulchan Aruch and Simon Shin Yudal, it's if Aleph, says, Ain bin Nastir Bekalim. Sounds good, right? Sounds like we're about to got a kula. Yeah, to get to the next words. Bahani Mili She'ainu Binyan Mamish. He says, when is that? Kagon Chavis. Now, if you skip that Hagor for a minute, that's the Ramah. Go down to the next line. So, Kagon Chavis Shanishbura V'dibik Shvareb Zephes. Yeah, if it's what we call a mustiki. It's a barrel that was made from a half broken piece of wood that was stuck together with some tar. Yochel Lashav V'likach Basha B'socha. Then and only then is it mutter. So, Shulchan Aruch just in one fell swoop just saw, like Taisus, that the starting point is Yesh Binyan Mekalim. Any Gemara that says otherwise is talking about a very, very shvach kind of a gli. Then to make matters even more chaver for us, now let's go back to that Ramah. So I just started off the Shulchan Aruch by saying, Ein bidin stir b'keilim, b'hadi b'lish yedinim, hagah, oh, she'enim achzeches haboim so. So what did the Ramah just do? He just took the chumr of the Ran. He said, oh, by the way, if it's something which is machzik 40 saw, if it's more than 40 saw, then also you have a potential problem. So it doesn't bode too well for the kulas of Yesh Binyan Mekalim. If we take a look at the 12th of the Mamre Kamos, so comes the Mishnah Berurah on the 12th of the Mamre Kamos, in the second line, Urbir HaGra, Hiskim La Poskim, the Gra agreed to those Poskim, to Sfilu the Ein Stir Bekalim, that there is no Malach of Stira, Afilu Kishaosa Shribakli Shlema, even if you break a full kli, namely like the mekilim, im lo kisha osa osa kli ayde shvira. That's chavak kapov kli amshir machav patish. Again, those are technical issues. Machav patish kli they are for now. So the Biagro says that no, he's not so sure that the Shulchan Aruch is right. He's not so sure that the Taz is right. Maybe the other Yisharim are correct. That the Emma says that ain't bidi mekilim. So this Shaila that's started out with how to resolve the stiras and mishnayos, the Gemara's Maseches Erevin, which we showed 3-4 different approaches and we shown him. Even when the Shulchan Aruch, it's not clear. The Shulchan Aruch himself, the Ramah al Machber and the Shaila, like Taz says, and the Biagro is making the Shaila. This was all the background. Questions: what does that have to do with us? So most of us are not breaking barrels, neither whole barrels nor falling apart barrels. Our perhaps most common application, this is a whole discussion, is the following Shaila. I have a kli, it's fairly small, it's called a can, we'll call it a tuna fish can for our purposes. When the early poskim decided to discuss this Shaila, so they all talk about the sardine cans, because those were the only, they didn't have tuna fish cans back in Eastern Europe, and the tuna fish didn't make its way to Poland, but sardines were common. So those are the first cans that they used to discuss. It's the same basic Shaila. I have a can of sardines or a can of tuna fish, and I want to take a can opener and open up that can on Shabbos. So I want to know, what's the story? Is that called Yesh bone, is that called Yesh Selser? Is that called Ein bone? Is that called Ein Selser? What's the din? So we have to answer that question on two different levels. We have to first try to figure out lahalacha. Everything we've been talking about in terms of the Rishonim is, are these malachas of bone and selser potentially subject to cans? And then number two, we have to ask ourselves, well, which of these two malachas are we talking about? When I open up a can of tuna fish, am I breaking the can of tuna fish? Or am I building the can of tuna fish? So I can ask as far as lakan. On the one hand, it was whole, and now it's open up, got jaggedy edges, it looks pretty broken. That's one way of viewing it. Or maybe I should say no. Right now, what am I going to do with the can of tuna fish? It's not functioning. When I open it up, ooh, now I can take the tuna fish out. So maybe that's closer to bona than it is to sosir. So for Mitzvah tomorrow, we have to take over from that point. So we have the background, the lumbish background that we've shown him. I'll try to see how this plays out. Lamaisa for us in terms of the opening of the cans.